Margot Norton, Associate Curator. Sarah Charlesworth Double World is the first major survey exhibition in New York of the work of the influential artist. The exhibition brings together over 50 works from throughout the span of Charlesworth's career that demonstrate her crucial role in expanding the possibilities of photography. Over four decades, Charlesworth investigated the language of images in our culture, dissecting pictorial codes and conventions to give emphasis to the impact of photography on our everyday lives. Charlesworth was born in 1947 in South Orange, New Jersey. She studied at Barnard College in New York in the late 1960s, a period that was marked by profound social and political change. She studied with the first-generation conceptual artist Douglas Hubler, who kindled her interest in conceptual practice and critical thought. In 1975, Charlesworth and fellow artist Joseph Kossuth founded The Fox, a publication devoted to contemporary art theory that was very influential, though it lasted for only three issues. Her work from the late 1970s pioneered photographic appropriation in series such as Modern History. For this body of work, she developed a systematic approach of photographing the front pages of different newspapers and redacting the texts, erasing everything except the mastheads and images on the pages. Her following series, Stills, also featured in this exhibition and shown in its entirety for the first time in New York, is comprised of 14 large-scale photographs that depict people falling or jumping off tall buildings, suspended in air and in time. This series bridged the gap between the rigors of 1970s conceptual art and a more permissive image play of what would later characterize the Pictures Generation, a group of artists that emerged in New York in the late 1970s and early 1980s, who were active in an aging society marked by burgeoning media saturation. These artists, including Jack Goldstein, Barbara Kruger, Louise Lawler, Sherry Levine, Cindy Sherman, Laurie Simmons, who are among the most well-known, plumbed the visual language of mass media and illuminated the imprint of ubiquitous images and their mediation of our perception of the world. The exhibition includes some of Charlesworth's more prominent series, along with some that are lesser known, offering insights into her artistic progression and allowing dialogues between her bodies of work to emerge. The series include the aforementioned Modern History and Stills, as well as Objects of Desire, with her luscious and tactile images, and Renaissance paintings, which continue her trenchant approach to dissecting the language of photography. The series Double World, from which this exhibition takes its name, the white-on-white images of the series 0+1, and ending with her luminous last series, Available Light. Taken together, the exhibition illuminates a rich and diverse career that continues to inspire contemporary artists drawing from our increasingly image-saturated culture. It's also interesting to look at Charlesworth's work today and see how her series have taken on shifting significance with time as new technologies emerge and our inexhaustible reservoir of images expands with astonishing speed. The title of the exhibition is taken from a specific work from 1995, titled Double World, from the series of the same name. In this work, two 19th-century stereoscopic viewing devices each hold a photograph of two women standing side by side. The repeating sequence of doubles in this work underscores the duplicitous role of the photograph as an alternate optical universe, a stand-in for the physical world that Charlesworth often referred to in her writings and interviews as image world. The title Double World can also allude to the reproducible nature of the photograph, which Walter Benjamin described in his famed essay, The Work of Art in its Age of its Technological Reproducibility. Of course, his observation prefigured the rapidly increasing dissemination of images with our current technology. The act of doubling also manifests itself throughout Charlesworth's oeuvre. As the viewer walks through the galleries, it becomes evident that certain iconography from earlier series is repeated and recycled in later ones, often with sly variations, underscoring the idea of a visual lexicon and creating a dialogue between her bodies of work in the exhibition. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. This Stills series, 1980. For Charlesworth's haunting series Stills, she refotographed clippings from press images that she sourced at the New York Public Library. All of the images she sourced depict people falling or jumping off of tall buildings. The title of each image gives the name of the person and the location where the photograph was taken, if known, leaving the rest of the narrative unspecified. The viewer is thus left to ponder the rest of the story and reflect on whatever preconceived notions he or she may harbor. This process, in turn, exposes the ambiguous nature of the photographic reproduction and gets to the heart of one of photography's key concerns, the relationship between the photographer and the photographed, especially during tragic events. On the surface, this series appears quite different from most of Charlesworth's work, both in terms of its large scale and the undeniable poignancy of its content. However, Stills also heralds a quality that she would bring to the fore in her subsequent work, of the latent potential within an isolated moment that is deconstructed and refigured. The title Stills comes from a term frequently used in film to define a single frame taken from a moving picture. For this series, the title refers to the notion that images represent a single static moment within a continuum, excluding whatever actions may have come before or after the snap of the camera's shutter. Charlesworth printed these images slightly larger than human scale, at 6 feet 6 inches tall, and on a lighter and lower quality silver gelatin paper that was typically used for printing commercial murals. She was, in fact, one of the first artists to embrace printing at this scale, breaking away from the tradition of the precious 8x10 black and white silver gelatin print that was the predominant convention in photography at the time. Charlesworth initially printed 7 of these works in 1980 and showed them for the first time in February of that year at the apartment gallery of dealer Tony Schifrazzi in New York. Later, she went back to her collection of over 70 original clippings to select images and produce 7 additional works for this series to bring the total to 14 prints by 2012. The entire series was shown together for the first time last year at the Art Institute of Chicago, and the new museum's presentation here is organized in association with the Art Institute and marks the first time that the complete series has been seen in New York and the first time that the stills have been presented as a series since their 1980 debut at Schifrazzi's Gallery located on Lexington Avenue. The significance of these works in the series also shifts with the consideration of events that have happened since its conception, most notably the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The Objects of Desire Series, 1983 through 1988. Over the course of her career, Charlesworth amassed a vast collection of images that were organized in folders by subject or theme. These included clippings from newspapers, fashion magazines, art history and archaeology textbooks, pornography, National Geographic magazines, among many other sources. Select images relating to a particular concept that she was exploring at the time were then put aside or pinned to her studio wall for further consideration. The Objects of Desire series, which is one of Charlesworth's most well-known, explores the way that desire is elicited by popular culture. These works mimic the process and aesthetic conventions of advertising in glossy magazines from the 1980s. She employed a rather laborious methodology to create this series, literally cutting and pasting the images, incising them from her sources with an X-Acto knife, and cropping out extraneous information. It's remarkable how contemporary these images seem today, especially considering the fact that they were made pre-internet, pre-Photoshop, and pre-digital photography. Charlesworth would take her incised images and place them onto monochromatic boards commonly used by the magazine designers of that era. She would then photograph the arrangements and bring her transparencies to a photo lab to be printed on a highly saturated cibachrome paper. The prints are then mounted and thickly coated with a high gloss laminate and framed with lacquered wood selected to match the color of the print. The resulting works are incredibly luscious and tactile. Not only did the images depicted elicit desire, but the conventions by which they are presented also seduce. It is impossible to look at one of these images without being aware of your own reflection and that of the surrounding room. These works hover in the area somewhere between photographs and sculptural objects. The images depicted seem immediately familiar, yet with all contextual information removed, we question how well we know these images, even though we regularly consume them and utilize them in our daily lives. The red and black images, the earliest in this series, grew out of the artist's frustration with the objectification of women in society and the oppressive visual role models that we are given to aspire to. Charlesworth then went on to explore other themes, each of which relates to a specific color. For the artist, these signified a particular type of desire: red for sexual passion, black for dominance or death, green for natural growth, yellow for material wealth, and blue for a metaphysical or spiritual desire. By providing only partial images and cutting out the body and other narrative clues, Charlesworth leaves viewers to formulate their own associations with these disembodied fragments and to question their sources. The Objects of Desire series suggests how images may be pre-coded on our consciousness and how they may influence individual attitudes toward material desire, sexuality, or power. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The Renaissance Painting Series, 1991. The Renaissance Painting Series continued Charles Wirth's trenchant approach to mining the language of photography as she had previously explored with Objects of Desire, focusing on images culled from different Renaissance paintings as illustrated in publications and textbooks. Charles Wirth incised and pasted her images in various configurations to evoke new meanings. As she had done with the Objects of Desire series, these images are isolated from their original context and displayed against monochromatic backgrounds. However, in this case, she described the images as forming sentences as opposed to nouns and verbs. Charles Wirth said that this series was not about the Renaissance paintings themselves, but rather about living in a world where Renaissance paintings exist. This comment highlights the artist's preoccupation with the increasing proliferation of images in our age and society. The religious iconography of mother, father, and child, found in many Renaissance paintings, provides ample visual material for probing the symbolic meanings of underlying familial relationships. Many of the works in the series probe the symbolism and take inspiration from theories in psychoanalysis by Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung. The interlinking chains of imagery in these works impel open-ended narratives and evoke inner states of being. The series has been described by Charles Wirth as a vehicle through which classic paintings are reinterpreted in light of personal... Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The Double World Series, 1995. Double World marked Charles Wirth's transition from working with pre-existing images to photographing images herself. With this transition, her dissections of pictorial codes continued, along with her precise arrangement of images and objects. This series focuses on a period of the mid-1800s, when the field of photography emerged and was highly discussed. Hand in hand with this emergence came a mutation in visual culture. For the first epidemic of media images and its inevitable repercussions on the society of that time. For this series, Charles Wirth arranged tableaux in her studio using 19th century antiques that she found in flea markets and antique shops, including optical devices and camera equipment, interspersed with the typical trappings of the Dutch still life, fruits, flowers, and skulls, which represented abundance and decay. Some of the works in this series are modeled after specific artworks from this era, while others are constructed by the artist, effectively representing the past in the present and revealing how the notion of vision is itself ingrained historically. One of the works from this series, titled Double World, from which the exhibition takes its name, presents two 19th century stereoscopic viewing devices, which each contain a photograph of two women standing side by side. The repeating series of doubles in this work highlights the idea of the photograph as a separate optical universe. Another work, Still Life with Camera, is arranged as a diptych. A mahogany frame divides the composition, separating a box camera on the right panel from a grouping of objects on the left, which include a bottle of wine, a leather-bound book, a pair of spectacles, and a framed daguerreotype photograph. By placing the camera in a separate panel, Charles Wirth positions it in a separate or doubled realm. This notion of a world of images, a parallel optical universe distinct from the physical world, is one that has remained a preoccupation of Charles Wirth's throughout the course of her career. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. Figure Drawings, 1988-2008. Figure Drawings amasses a collection of 40 individually framed images of human figures engaging in a variety of actions. These images were selected from a diverse range of sources and time periods. Charles Wirth first conceived the idea for this installation in 1988, but did not realize it until 2008, when she was invited to show her work in a group exhibition at Guild and Grayskull, an artist-run gallery in Soho, founded by younger artists Anya Kalar and Sarah and Johannes Vanderbeek. Many of the figures in this series originally appeared in earlier works by the artist, who often repeats and recycles iconography from earlier series in later works. The doubling and recurrence of these symbols reinforce the sense of the artist's ongoing interest in the ways that images reinforce power structures, whether they are tied to sexuality, politics, spirituality, or domination. The figures in this work engage in a variety of different activities: praying, dancing, fighting, walking, falling, all arranged according to a specific hierarchical system, as many of her works were, with gods and deities on the top of the wall, followed by politicians and world leaders on the tier below, to people engaging in various physical activities, to those who are passive, and finally at the bottom, those who are falling or in distress. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The 0+1 Series, 2000. The white-on-white images in Charlesworth Series 0+1 test the limitations of visual perception. Photographing white objects on white backgrounds and flooded by bright light, Charlesworth was interested in this series in displaying the minimal amount of visual information in order for it to register as an identifiable image. Sometimes, the slightest of shadows is able to conjure a representation. The title for this series, 0+1, was inspired by the book Writing Degree Zero by French philosopher and theorist Roland Barthes, first published in 1953. In his book, Barthes asks whether or not it might be possible for a writer to create a text devoid of literary conventions and tropes. He differentiates the term writing from style or language. With her series, Charlesworth aims to achieve a comparable image degree zero, posing the fundamental question, what constitutes representation? And posing her own question, where do images begin and end? In her works from the series, she attempts to capture the image just taking shape, as if it were emerging from off the printed page, and hovering just above the line between legibility and abstraction. With this series, Charlesworth continues her quest to expand the realm of possibilities within the resolute process of photography. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The Available Light Series, 2012. For Charlesworth's last series, Available Light, she utilized many of the techniques that she had explored in earlier series to explore the possibilities within the photographic medium. In some of the works in this series, she photographs objects in front of monochromatic backgrounds, as she had done before with the Objects of Desire series, and in some instances, she places arrangements of objects before her camera in her studio and tests the ramifications of photography's central element, light. For this series, Charlesworth relied on the daylight from her studio window as a source of illumination, which she manipulated in various ways. At times, a sheet of white vellum was placed over the window to diffuse the light. At other times, pieces of blue paper were placed over it to create the reoccurring blue areas that appear throughout the series. In addition, reflectors were strategically added to control the direction of the light itself. The objects that she photographed in front of the studio window were also themselves often reflective in some way, such as the glass sphere in Carnival Ball, or the bowl of water in Half Bowl, and the prism on the left panel of Shiva Light. One of the images in this series, titled Studio Wall, interestingly reveals Charlesworth's working process, as clippings of found images and prints of her photographs are visible, pinned to the wall for further consideration, and some tools for cutting and pasting are also displayed. Her photographs in this series manipulate light as a material in its own right. As such, her approach is similar to a sculptor's process of molding with clay or a painter's application of layers of paint on canvas. Her carefully composed works highlight the fact that all images are constructed by a combination of the artist's hand, framing devices, and available light. This is true whether the images are created over time in the studio or as a spontaneous documentary photograph. The working title for this series was Constant, which alluded to the resolute process by which a photograph was made, belying an exactitude of technique, which of course was also an unyielding concern of Charlesworth throughout. Margot Norton, Associate Curator. The Modern History Series, 1977 through 1979. The installation in this room brings together Charlesworth's earliest series with her last, Modern History from 1977 through 79, and Available Light from 2012. The Modern History series was created at the beginning of Charlesworth's career in the late 1970s and straddles the cerebral and language-based process of art making that was a hallmark of 1970s conceptual practice, with an illuminating image play that would come to identify the work of a group of artists known as the Pictures Generation. For this series, Charlesworth sought to engage with a process that she called unwriting, laying bare the syntax of photography, which is at its essence a form of writing with light. In her systematic approach to exposing this language of photography, Charlesworth erased everything except for the mastheads and images on these newspaper front pages and laid bare the editorial decisions that resulted in the cropping, size, and placement on the page. She repeated this manipulation, showing a single publication's front page over the course of a month, as with a work, which is not on view here, featuring the New York Herald Tribune in 1977. Or she would look at the varying representations of one specific event on a specific day found in many different publications, which characterizes the work on view here, The Arc of Total Eclipse, 1979. Charlesworth found that in redacting the text and focusing on the images, certain patterns would emerge. An important aspect of this series is the fact that each size of one of her photographs replicates the exact size of the front page of the particular newspaper that she altered. This meticulous methodology serves to underscore the differences in each periodical's coverage of events. The Arc of Total Eclipse follows the path of an eclipse from the Pacific Northwest United States up through Canada. The photographs are displayed in geographical order to show how the images of the eclipse and the prominence of their placement on the front page varied, depending on the point of view from different locations. This work differs from many of the other works in the Modern History series, for it does not engage with a specific political event, but rather with a celestial occurrence. The images of the eclipse are interesting, for they essentially record an absence of light produced by a rare alignment of objects, the moon and the sun, an event that echoes the play of light and objects that lie at the heart of any photograph, and that Charlesworth specifically explored with her last series, Available Light, as well.